Live in Color mit The Solace of You auf Flux FM am Mittwochnachmittag. Meine Damen und Herren, es ist unfassbar, aber wahr. Im kleinen, aber feinen Flux FM Studio sitzen großartige Gäste. The Original Sugar Hill Gang ist bei mir. Kinder, Hefte raus, Musikgeschichte. Das Jahr 1979 gilt vielen als Geburtsstunde des Hip-Hop, obwohl das Rap-Phänomen in der Tat in den Clubs New Yorks bereits bekannt war, wurde ja der Begriff Hip-Hop eben erst im Jahre 79 durch den Song Rapper's Delight so richtig etabliert. I said Hip, Hop, the Hippie, so beginnt ja das Stückchen, das aus historischer Sicht wohl zu den wichtigsten Stücken in der Historie der Popmusik zählt und das fast jeder Mensch mitrappen kann. Heute sind die Hip-Hop-Pioniere unfassbarerweise for real in Berlin, um den Kids da draußen mal zu zeigen, was die Oldschool-Fraktion noch drauf hat. Und jetzt sind sie bei mir im Studio. Ich begrüße Guy Master G. O'Brien. Ich begrüße außerdem Mr. Henry Han, Henry Dog Williams und den neuen DJ der Formation T-Dynamite. When one's looking at the itinerary of those old school artists from the USA, one does get the feeling that there's a certain crowd of made of crowds in Germany that are still respecting that old school vibe so much.
Oh yeah.
How important is the European vibe for you guys and the fact that the German fans are still freaking out for like 40 years after you put out Rapper's Delight?
No. It's super amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, to have a career based on, you know, our records that have spanned this many years and it to be all over the world, yeah. And Germany being one of the major places. I mean, you know, we've been coming to Germany since the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and every time we come to Germany, no matter what, it's always a party. So it's a very cool thing, man. It's very, very, very awesome situation to be in.
Yeah, and it's awesome for us, too. Seeing you guys on a regular basis.
Yes.
Seeing you guys perform on a regular basis, that's a blessing for us, too.
No, definitely. Plus, I have to say that you guys over here have a great appreciation for history.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I really think that the hip-hop heads in Germany, as soon as they start listening to beats with raps, they'd be like, oh, there must be a history to that whole stuff. Let's dig into that.
That's very
Let's
true.
Find out about the beginnings of it all.
That's a really cool thing, too, because it's like, you know, we have very, very, very young fans and all the way up to the fans that have actually grew up with the music.
Yeah.
And the younger fans are just as informed as the older fans. And that's pretty cool.
Sometimes I'm surprised when I meet like 14-year-old coach and they can tell me all about the history of like DC punk in the 70s.
Yes.
And I'm like, why do you know about
thanks to the internet, man.
True.
No, but even before the internet, you know, the fans over here were always informed. Like they not only knew the history of the music, but they knew the artist.
Mm-hmm.
The artist, what he grew up doing and how he got into the business. So I think, you know, that you take your hat off to that, because somebody had to do that research before there was a Google.
Yeah, that's
Google
true.
That.
Yeah.
And somebody did it, and they did it always.
Yeah.
So it was always good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a Curtis Blow show not too many years ago, and then people were freaking out. It really felt as if it was the 80s, and those songs were like brand new, you know?
Right.
People were appreciating
Well, the thing about it, you got your parents bringing their kids to our concerts, you know, so they could show them, you know, where it all began, you know, and explain to them the history of, you know, how rap music was introduced to the world.
Yeah, and I mean, you're an integral part of the history of hip-hop and rap. And that's another interesting thing that I want to talk to you about, because, I mean, it's been almost 40 years now, right? It's been put out in 1979.
Yes.
So in 2 years, it's going to be 40 years of Rapper's Delight.
Yes.
And I know, because one of you told another interviewer that in a conversation, I know that you had the feeling that something special is happening when you entered the studio. You had the feeling that this could be
big.
That
was Mike. Yeah. That was Mike.
Okay.
I had no clue.
No?
I had no clue. I thought it was going to be big in the New York metropolitan area, which, of course, that's where we lived.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be big in that area. But Mike said in his insight that he always knew that it was going to be a big thing.
Yeah. But it's so funny that the song, I mean, Everybody knows Rapper's Delight. Everybody has listened to it for a million times, maybe, right?
Yes.
And you put that stuff on and it never gets old. Hey. That's such a great thing about that song. You put it on and it's still fresh, it's still new. I don't know where that, it might have to do with the way you rap, might have to do with the fact that there was a band playing, it was not a sample.
You know? The thing about Rapper's Delight is that it's it's one of those magical recordings.
Yeah.
You know, everything was put into that record for the record to be what it became. You know, the vocal qualities, the stories in the raps, the music that was chosen, the way it was recorded, the time that it came out. So it became a fixture in the world.
Yeah.
And so that's the power of the record. The record is so strong in every aspect.
Yeah.
You know, that it just continues to work. It never grows old. It's just one of those kind of songs.
Yeah. But it must be crazy to look back at that song and be like, what kind of a monster did we create? It doesn't get old.
Like I said, every time we do the song, I mean, every single time we do the song, here we are, like you said, almost 40 years later, and we strike up on the song, it's like a brand new record, man.
Right.
I mean, the crowd is screaming, and everybody's going crazy, and everybody's singing every word. I mean, it's crazy.
And that's another fact about Rapper's Delight. Everybody can rap it.
I've heard so many stories about it. You know what I mean? You know, people have their own individual story, how the song has affected their lives. And, you know, several people have came up to me and said, you know, I've seen the Beatles, I've seen the Rolling Stones, and now I've seen you guys. He said, now I can die.
I mean, I would sign that, maybe. Nice. But
I haven't
seen the Beatles nor the Rolling Stones, so I hope I'm going to be alive for a little while.
Yeah, me too.
But that's a tough thing to say, man.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
People have always said that having a super huge hit is something like a blessing and a curse at the same time. And I know that back in the 80s, there were difficult times with Sugar Hill Records.
Yes.
And there were stuff that happened at the courts, and the Robinsons were claiming the Sugar Hill Gang name for themselves. Even your rap names were stolen by them. There's a documentary about that. Pretty interesting.
Yes.
But how hard was it for you guys to kind of like having to turn your back to the song for a little while? Because I know that some of you were kind of like trying to distance yourselves from the music industry.
We weren't trying. I walked away. Trying.
Yeah.
I walked away for 20 years.
Yeah.
I went into business for myself, and fortunately, I found a really good thing and did well.
In Cleveland, right?
Cleveland, and I built businesses. That's what I was doing.
Okay.
And at any rate, it was necessary to get away from the situation. Sometimes you got to move back from a situation to check the whole thing out.
Yeah.
To figure out how to handle a situation. Now, of course, I didn't know it was going to take as long as it took, but you know, at the end of the day, when I was prepared to come back and deal with the situation, and through Mike and I being best friends, like we talk about in the documentary, the fact that Mike and I were best friends, we stayed friends through all of that.
Yeah.
So it was never an internal situation. It was always an external situation. Yeah. So we were, when he was ready, whenever he was ready, I was ready. And that's what happened. 2005 is when we, you know, mounted our attack. And we've been kicking butt and taking names ever since.
But it must have been hard to like turn your back on your baby, kind of? No?
It wasn't. Because, see, you have to understand something, that for me, it was never about the fame.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about that. As far as I was concerned, I wanted to be credited for what it was that I created. And so that was the importance. Being in the limelight wasn't an interest to me, you know, especially at that point in my life. Because as a kid, I had enough fame and notoriety. I had all the fame and notoriety that I ever needed.
Yeah.
So now I needed other things to be right. So
I mean, once you had a little bit of fame, you realize that it's not as worthy as some people might think, right? Fame is kind of worthy.
Fame affects people differently.
Yeah.
Some people get addicted to it,
right.
And some people like myself, they, you know, it's not all there is to it. Exactly, it's a little tough.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I mean, the music industry, man, as we all know, could be so cruel. I mean, I know several artists who've walked around with hit records and they're broke.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I thought that it would be hard to like turn your back on, because that song is like your baby, right? It must feel like you abandoned the kid or something.
I was never away from it. I was never away from it.
Okay. But do you turn your back to the industry?
Yeah.
But not to the song.
Yeah, the song was always a part of my life.
Yeah.
Even
Big Bang Hank used to say when he was in his most desperate of times, I remember we were moving the stuff around, and his platinum plaques were behind the couch and stuff like that. And I said, "Oh man, look at this! Remember this?" And he's looking at it. He said, "I can't eat it.
Yeah,
I can't do nothing with it. So what good is it to me?" But, you know, the whole time, you know, they were always scrapping and moving and all the rest of that. So Mike stayed in the game for, you know, for a lot longer.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, 2005, when he got back with G, that was the perfect, it was perfect.
Yep.
Because it kind of freed the chains, you know, because, you know, Mike was still with the parent company.
Yeah.
You know, G escaped. He got out, and you know,
it's like it's a super dysfunctional family story, basically. Like the story with the Robinsons Redemption. And the Sugar Hill Gang and the Sugar Hill Record Company, and forced other guys to be like, "I'm Wonder Mike now." What's wrong with you? I mean, I do get the fact that they were working on that song with you guys, and they'd be like, "Yeah, it's partly our song, maybe."
Yeah.
But to get other guys on stage and then give them your rap names—that's a weak move. Sorry.
Well, it was the time that happened, and you know, unfortunately, they didn't have the insight to see the big picture. Right. But at the point that it became a little bit confusing to the public, is the point that we were able to kind of get in and, you know, get things situated. Yeah. And
had the documentary helped, I think, a little bit, right?
It brought a lot of light onto the situation,
I mean, maybe one does feel ashamed a little bit when there's a light shining upon you, and you know,
It needed to be told.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know, the story needed to be told.
Right.
Yeah, it all worked out.
It all worked out. Leland, you know, he came to the table. You know, big shout out to Leland Robinson for doing the right thing.
Cool,
coming to the table.
Wow,
you know,
cool. I didn't expect him to do that though.
Yeah.
Well, he was always the one that, you know, that wanted to do the right thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just didn't have his hands in the right place, but everything is good now.
I just have to tell you that I'm super happy to have you guys here and not some other people.
Absolutely.
You know, pretending to be the Sugar Hill Gang.
So are we. Trust me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. Let's listen to Rapper's Delight, and then we talk a bit more. Maybe we have to talk a bit about the actual political situation in the U.S., unfortunately, because it's bad.
Okay.
I think that hip hop might be part of the solution for the whole thing. I don't know. Okay. But we'll talk about that in a few moments. Here's in the Sugar Hill Gang. Boys, no mom, it Rapper's Delight. Das ist der Song, mit dem alles anfing, people. Ladies and gentlemen, die Sugar Hill Gang auf Flux FM. Rapper's Delight haben wir gerade gehört. Und bei mir im Studio sind immer noch T-Dynasty, Hand Dog, Master G, die Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yep, yep.
It's so good to have you here, man. It's like I'm living a dream. It's crazy.
Mm.
It's so good.
Get your popcorn ready.
Ah, man. We've talked about the fact that Rapper's Delight, the song we've just listened to, has almost 40 years on its back.
Yeah.
It's an old school hit that never gets old. Love it like back in the days when we listened to it for the first time. And now there's so many stuff that's been happening in the hip-hop genre as well since 1979.
Yes.
New subgenres like gangster rap, for example, turned up in the mid-80s, beginning of the 90s.
Yes.
How closely have you been watching these developments? Because you kind of like turned your back to the industry, but I imagine that you were like still watching the rap game.
I watched everything.
Yeah.
I paid attention to it all.
Yeah.
See, you know, when I was, you know, on my sabbatical, I was surrounded by a lot of young people.
Mm.
And so I always heard the music.
Mm.
So I heard the transition from the gangster rap. I heard that. I heard, I heard the MC Hammer thing go down. I heard that. You know what I mean?
Oh, don't remind
me. Public Enemy. I mean, I heard it all. So, you know, I appreciated and continue to appreciate the development of it because it's always been a form of expression.
Mm.
You know, rap music has always been a form. For me, that's what it was. It was an opportunity for me to express myself.
Yeah.
And so,
and maybe show the world about your surroundings.
Exactly.
Right?
And so it became that for different people. Now, a lot of times people don't understand this. In my environment, I came up in a pretty decent environment.
Mm.
You know, I didn't come up in the ghetto and all that kind of thing. And that wasn't the case. I grew up in the suburbs, that kind of situation. So, you know, I talked about what I wanted to talk about.
Mm.
I wanted to date. I wanted to be known by pretty girls. You know what I mean?
Toxic ladies. I wanted pretty girls.
Exactly. So, but, you know, when it went out to L.A., you know, it was a lot going on in South Central. It was a lot going on in those neighborhoods.
Sure.
So they talked about the same thing. The same thing I did, they did.
Yeah.
They talked about what they knew. So that's why it came out so raw because there was so much going on.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just continued to go on. It's always been a form of expression.
Yeah. Right.
And plus, too, you have to realize that, you know, hip-hop is still evolving right to today. You know what I mean? I mean, record labels thought that, most of them thought anyway, that it was going to be a fab here today, gone tomorrow. But still, it's the biggest form of music right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that, you know, the envelope is with each new generation that comes out, the envelope is being pushed a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that, you know, they can say now on radio, you couldn't say back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Things that you can see on TV, you wouldn't see back then. You know what I mean? So the envelope keeps getting pushed further and further with each new generation.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because you never expect it, but there's a new hip-hop subgenre like every year.
Oh,
each year something's going up.
Yeah.
Like all these trap rappers are doing stuff in their homes.
There you go.
It's weird, but it's there, right?
But at the end of the day, it gets right back to, again, like I said, what it was that I did.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a form of expression.
Right.
Everybody expresses themselves different ways at different times in the world.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, it was not so much exposure to the things that the trap guys have.
Yeah.
You know, they have the internet and all of that. I didn't have that when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, I had to go in a studio and physically record a record.
Right.
And they have a love for super fast hi-hats.
Right. Yeah,
I don't have that as well.
There you go.
I mean, Shock G told me that, you know, when Rappers Delight first came out, him and Tupac went and bought it, and they must have listened to it over 100 times, you know, trying to be, you know, different, taking turns, being different, Master G, being Wonder Mike, or being Big Beck Hank. That's what really inspired them.
I think there's like a ton of German rappers as well who don't even rap in English, who learned rapping with Rapper's Delight, you know? Just how does it work?
Right.
Where do I have to put the words? How important is the phrasing? How do the rhymes go, you know? Where does the rhyme have to end and stuff? They all learned it from you guys.
Yeah,
so thank you as well for that. Now we've talked about hip-hop and its development, and I talked to the Dead Presidents a few months ago. They were here visiting me.
Okay.
And then they told me that they've always seen themselves as artivists. They combine the word artist and the word activist to artivist.
That's good.
And they think that this is
that's
the
clever.
Most important. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
They're pretty clever guys, right?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that's a cool thing for artists in 2017 to think about that, because we live in troubled times. And though music might not be able to change the world completely, it might inspire young people to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or so what's your take on that? Would you say that it's important, more important nowadays to think about your political opinion before you start rapping than it was back in the days? Or
I think it's more important, man, to preach love and good music, man.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we got enough politicians. We have enough people that, you know, is going for one thing or saying for another thing. You got to think about something, man. If everybody was working to love everybody, people really couldn't be upset with each other. And the other thing is, music is the universal language. So if you combine love and good music and make that a situation, you got a better situation worldwide. You know what I mean? So, like we would briefly talk about Donald Trump and this and that and other things, blah, blah, blah. There's certain things that you cannot control.
Yeah,
you can vote and that's it. You know, at the end of the day, that's all there is. What you can do though is you can start with like me and you. We talking one on one. We sharing good vibes. We sharing good vibrations. We start passing that around and start getting that into, you know, a lot of different situations, man.
Yeah.
We'd have a lot of, we'd be able to cool out a lot of craziness.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and maybe you're right, because I don't think that you have to be super vocal about your political opinion.
I don't.
As soon as you spread love, and as soon as you, you know, unite black and white, and as soon as you feel the love for every race and every religion.
There you go. See, you're already on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on it.
See, there you go.
Yes,
that's
man.
It.
I was on it before, though.
You, and so was I. Been doing it all my life.
Yeah. Preaching to the converted. But now you are visiting Germany again, and you've just told me that the trip to London was not just only about, we have to talk about that as well,
yep.
It was not just only about playing a little gig
concerts.
There,
no,
but
we actually were doing festivals.
Yeah. But, and you did something else.
Yes, we did.
And I'm the first German presenter on the radio who can tell people about it. That's great.
Right. We have just officially recorded a new record.
What?
Yes. Yes. It's on the Defected label, the Glitterbox. The good folks out there in London were gracious enough to give us an opportunity, man, to create something with Melly Mel and Scorpio.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's Sugar Hill Gang, yep. Melly Mel, Scorpio, yep. And it's on the Defected label. It'll be out early next year.
Wow.
And
look for
it's called Fever.
Yeah. It's called Fever.
Yeah, it's called. It's yep. It's kind of like a tribute to Disco Fever back
right.
in the. back in the Bronx.
Right.
All right.
And so, it's kind of like a dance track, you know, and we know that we've had some success with that by the single "The La La Song" with Bob Sinclair that we did back in 2010.
Yeah.
It went number one, you know, over here in some areas of Europe too as well.
We had a lot of fun with that song too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
They love it everywhere we play it.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
Shout out to Bob Sinclair.
Yeah, shout out to Bob Sinclair.
Bob Sinclair was, and shout out to our booking agent / tour manager, Lothar, because that whole situation kind of brought us into the 21st century. Bob Sinclair actually reached out to us.
Nice.
Yeah, and he had an interest for us to record with him.
In fact, through Lothar.
Through our agent, right. Yeah. Great. So, and that record was kind of like, again, our opportunity to be introduced to a new level of fan as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I played the Living Color song before we started talking.
Oh, yeah.
Because I found out that they took you on tour in a phase where it wasn't that easy with the Robinsons and with the Sugar Hill Gang versus the Rapper's Delight crew.
Well, Doug Wimbish played in the Sugar Hill Band. The guy, the bass player for... Yes, the bass player for Living Color, Doug Wimbish, was originally part of the Sugar Hill Band that recorded The Message, Apache, Funky Fourplay. He recorded all of the records in the Sugar Hill label, and he toured with us. So I've known Doug Wimbish since I was a kid. We've known each other almost 40 years. So once he became a part of the Living Color situation, we continued to dialogue.
Nice.
And when we were going through the name situation, because for one point, we couldn't call ourselves Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
Well, we were Rappers Delight, featuring Wonder Mike and Master G. And Doug was gracious enough to incorporate us in the Living Color situation, and we toured during that period.
It was
a period of almost 2 years, almost.
That's super bass player nerd knowledge that I have right now.
Yes,
Doug Wimbish. I can go up to any bass player in the world, and I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little parallel between...
People did not know that.
No, I didn't.
I know that, see?
I didn't. Doug, because
he didn't play on Rappers Delight, but he played on every single other hit record out of Sugar Hill Records. Eighth Wonder, Freedom, The Message, you name it, Doug Wimbish. That's Doug. Any bass part after Rappers Delight is Doug Wimbish.
Cool. So I'll play Eighth Wonder now, and then we've heard him twice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
That's super nice. So what can people expect from tonight's show? Are you going to perform that new song already?
No, not yet. We're gonna have a lot of fun, man.
Yeah,
you know, we're gonna have a lot of fun. It's gonna be. We like to get down and we like to enjoy the people. So we hope that the people enjoy us because we enjoy the people.
Yeah,
and that's what it's all about today. Like I said, it's all about love and good music.
People start enjoying yourselves eventually, please.
Right.
That would be like the solution for so many things right now. Enjoy your neighbors.
There you go.
No doubt.
Thank you guys for coming, for stopping by. Thank you for coming to see Flux FM. It was a great pleasure to meet you guys and talk to you guys.
Very cool.
And as soon as you come back to Germany with the new song in the back.
You know where we're going.
Yeah, you know where we are right now. Yeah.
We just got to take that elevator up here, that's all.
If there's another band standing here doing an interview, just kick them out.
Yeah, yeah, they got to move.
You'll be like, we're the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah,
we're always invited.
Thank you, man.
Thank you guys for everything, for the music, for visiting us.
No.
For the talking part and for everything. And I'm really looking forward to that new song.
Yes.
As soon as
so are we.
As soon as it sounds pretty nice.
Right.
No, but as soon as it's put out, you send a copy of it to us so we can play it, because we have a little extra station called Boom FM where it's hip hop all day, and they were dying
to
have that song.
We got you.
Right.
Cool. So thanks a lot again. Have a great fun at tonight's show. Und wer vorbeigehen möchte im Columbia Theater, kann das machen. Es gibt noch Resttickets und wir haben zwei Ticketpärchen, die wir verlosen dürfen unter der 030 2000 9000 Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Ruft an für Tickets für die Sugar Hill Gang heute Abend im Columbia Theater. Thanks again, guys.
Bye.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Love. One love. Peace out.
Peace and love.